Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
We're glad each of you are here, and it's a great day to be in Florida, isn't it? On these nice, cooler days. So, we have a couple of cards. Make sure and fill those out. I'm sure you know which ones we're talking about. And we'd also like to have you now stand and greet one another.
Please remain
standing. I won't run you over. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called, ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. for the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Together. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Revelation 7, verses 2 through 17. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the son of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, and 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and whispered God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Excuse me. "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that he should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Appointed for this Sunday is recorded in the book of St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, the beginning. "Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad. Your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Here ends the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is taken from our readings of Immerse, our Bible study that have been taking place this past week. We had several books that we read in the New Testament, and just to have you be aware of that. That's out of this book. If you have one, that's great. If you don't and would like one, please let us know. Please pray with me. Lord and Savior Jesus, I ask that you would bless us in this message today as the people of God. And that as we hear and share these words, that we would think about how to advance the kingdom of God as Paul did strategically. And so into your hands we place every person and every bit of this ministry and ask the Lord to have us examine the ways in which we can be strategic in the ways in which we minister to one another and to this community, all for the purpose of making disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but it's kind of exciting as you look across the street. You see a 13-story building being erected, basically one bolt at a time and one bucket of cement at a time, and you start to see everything taking shape. I see a ramp, if you come at it the right way, where cars will one day drive up and then go to their various parking spaces. And now I'm also starting to see the outline of various floors and the footprint of this entire structure. Engineers have tested the soil for suitability, and architects and mechanical engineers have designed every aspect, from light switches all the way to the entire massive structure. And when we start to think of it, they've done that from start to finish. There was a plan. And I'm reminded again as I read this week of the life of Paul and his diligence in making the most of every opportunity for the sake of the gospel that would be shared, not only in one little part of the community, but across the known world of his day. He was strategic. He first went to the larger cities and then to the smaller towns and villages. Ultimately, Paul wanted to go to west, to the Rome. And ultimately, that's where his life would end. Paul would delegate, working through others such as Onesimus, Titus, and Timothy, and others to carry forth the gospel message that he could not, especially when he's in prison. Paul developed a church planting strategy. A church planting strategy so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could always be present, even in Paul's absence. When Paul was in prison, he developed a strategy also of letter writing. Those are the books of Ephesians and Colossians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans and the like. And in those letters he wrote and he led the church, helping them overcome obstacles, face questions, and even persecution that they were now facing under Nero. I know the joy of church planting, some 75 as I was in the Florida, Georgia district. But I learned from Paul this week the need for us to delegate. And I was reminded of that as I looked at my ministry there. That accomplishment did not come through a single person walking in and starting 75. It was done through the life of many pastors and teachers and lay people. And what we started to see was that through others we could leverage and strengthen our ministry and our outreach in the district. I also saw in my recent illness the wisdom of delegating to others. Earlier on, before we began Immerse, the Bible reading experience, we had decided that we would work through others to lead these small groups. And some 8 leaders were identified. And when we started to do that, we started to say it would probably be best for our lay people to take the lead on this, because I can't be everywhere every evening and encourage and be there to share that message. And it was through the faithfulness of good and dedicated leaders that these studies emerged and are going on today. I also heard back from you that it was good to hear from our pastor in the stewardship letter. There was a thankfulness to hear of the things that were going on, and an understanding that the future is doing some mighty nice things that we're thankful for. And I was reminded of Paul and how he used letters to encourage the people of God. It was kind of cathartic, you might say, to be able to see all these things and line up and start to see what's going on here at Trinity. As a student of Paul this past week in our readings, it's led me to some very basic thoughts that I would like to share with you now. What is our strategy, my friends, for reaching out across the street, around the block, and throughout this city? In the tower radius apartments across the street are some 384 new apartments going in. There's a lot of other high-rises also in this downtown area. I found out also in the Baldwin Park area, Thornton Park, and Lake Yola, there's so many young families moving in. And as we start to see that, we start to see all this mixture of people. And we see senior citizens that are mixed within that same community. But in the downtown area, there are singles and starters, young city solos that have a drive for status and enjoy living life on the edge as an urbanite living in an apartment. That's what the demographics say. So there's a young adult group that we really need to be reaching. And how can we be reaching them? What's our strategy? And we have a University of Central Florida campus that's about to open up. How might we minister to them? How can we reach out to the seniors and the families living in our immediate area? There's ideas. We could share them together, and it's exciting. We must make, as Paul said, the most of every opportunity for the sake of the gospel to be shared. How will we communicate this message and communicate it in such a way that we connect? We connect with this community in such a way that we and they will become one in sharing the gospel of Christ. How can we engage even more volunteers to carry out the gospel ministry of this congregation and even reach out beyond our walls? I'm going to share a couple of needs that we have right now. One is that we have a need for some more Sunday school teachers. I just really would like to say thank you to people. Well, people such as Gail Wilkos, who stepped in again and said, yeah, I'll do that this year. And when I start to think about it, there are so many others, but it would be nice if we could have a few more teachers. Just as maybe to assist, to substitute, to stand alongside of, to support. If you're interested, would like to do that, speak with me. Let me know. We'd love to hear from you, and we do need your help. I also share this with you as an opportunity to share the wonderful good news with some wonderful, great little guys who you'll be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with. It's such a joy to teach a little child how to pray and how to say, how to form the words for that prayer and things to pray for, and then to hear the stories about Jesus. It's a privilege and an honor, and I hope some of you will want to take up on that. There's also a need for people in our choir, and I'd just love to have you maybe take an opportunity to say, I'm going to do what Pastor said. I'm going to go make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, if you're not that good, as I wouldn't be, I'd just sing it a little lower and stand in the back of the choir, but it'd be good if you wanted to go up there and help sing. We need the voices, and so if you can help out with that as well. That will help enhance and polish our worship and bring new energy and excitement to it. You see, Paul, even from prison, was able to guide and direct the many churches and leaders. We too can, with much of a limited staff, with every laborer and volunteer, engage even more ministry. Not because we paid someone else to do it, but because together we are going to lift the load together. As you and I start to look at all of this, Paul was one who had huge challenges in his ministry. Big things happened. as the church, the Christian church, was forming. Some of those changes were moving the congregations to a time where the people of God, Greeks and Gentiles, would join the Jews, and the Jews would join them, and they would become one people. And the line between slave and free was being replaced with brother or sister. And Jesus, not Caesar, was Lord, something which the Roman culture hated to the core. Christ was supreme. He held supremacy in everything. Paul writes, "We put no confidence in human effort. It will not save us." Paul considered all of his human credentials as worthless. Worthless because of what Christ has done. When we are compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, we would come to the same conclusion. Some of those changes that Paul talked about and faced, from culture that was contrary to Christianity, persecution which was now occurring under Emperor Nero, the combining of Jew and Gentile, the combining of slave and free, things that were unheard of, the circumcised with the uncircumcised, those huge changes were things that caused much discussion. I elected today to share with you something that we'll be sharing at the voters' meeting, because some of you will not be at the voters' meeting. I don't want you to hear about it secondhand. I want you to hear about what I'm going to share with you now, about a change that may occur. It's not a change that is decided upon. It's a discussion, not a decision. We've had some huge changes in the last 2 years, moving our church offices, the closure of the K to 8. And as Paul was strategic in everything he did for the sake of the gospel, I hope that you can see that we are trying to be strategic as well. Today we'll be discussing at that voters' meeting, not deciding, discussing, on the number of services we offer on Sunday mornings. Going on a weekend from 4 down to 3 is what is being talked about. There is a deep need for Trinity to have fellowship. Fellowship that will bring our church together as one. We now have Saturday people, 8 o'clock people, 9:30 people, and 11 o'clock people. We need to be one people of God at Trinity. A Bible study time with fellowship would be a wonderful opportunity on Sundays in the middle of our two services, if this were something that you would like, that would allow us to experience this each and every week. I remember the buzz that was going on as we started to talk about our anniversary service and having it be one. And there was such an excitement at that service that the church was full, and we sang better, our music was, all the stops were pulled out, and we did everything to the glory of God. And we had fellowship time together, and we sat and visited and talked and ate. And you, the people of God, commented, several of you, how good that was. I'd like to see that again. And that's why I'm suggesting that we talk about this at our voters' meeting and probably have other meetings to discuss it and finally make a decision. So we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from your ideas. As the people of God here at Trinity, we've made other huge changes, and this would be a strategic one, we believe. We also have a strategy of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ for people across the street and for people around this community. And we have to develop that strategy and implement it and place it in the hands, not just of the pastor or elected leaders, but of all of us as the people of God. The word immerse, this is the New Living Translation. And that translation is put in a very wonderful language that is easy to read. And it's something that we are doing in large parts of Scripture, studying the Word of God. As one people of God, we're all on the same page. And in this book, we start to see the words of God coming to life. And then the life of Paul and others being put in a sequence in a way in which we can understand how this timeline unfolded. And as we see all of this coming together, we, the people of God at Trinity, are on the same page. This is an engine of God. It's no reason or no wonder why we started in the Word of God. It's the engine of God. It's the power of God unto our salvation. It's that which will guide and direct us in the next steps of our ministry. And that is why we started strategically launching the Immersed Bible Study as part of our anniversary year. We also are going to be having fellowship as a strategy. Today we'll be talking about a combined service also on Thanksgiving as a possibility with a congregational Thanksgiving dinner all in one together on November 24th. Is that a possibility? When we start to think about these opportunities, it's a new way of looking, but it's a way for us to become one and to work together and live together and to serve together and get to know each other. Because the 8 o'clock people don't always know the 11 o'clock or the 9:30 or the Saturday. And so when we start to see this as an opportunity, we will also be strategic in our stewardship. Because of your faithfulness to God's work, we're better off financially. Also, I've seen our Ruth Lane property start to take a shape and making progress. You'll hear more about that. A volunteer has now stepped up to actually help place the star on the roof in a much safer way. We will be replacing two of our gym units, the AC, on top of the building, and paying for it with cash. We've refurbished our fellowship hall, thanks to the leadership of Bev Middleton, and painted that place, making it very attractive. We'll soon begin work at Loggia 3, the room right outside this ramp. And we'll be doing it for Sunday school space, fellowship, meeting space, and at Trinity, a historical connecting place. As you and I see, we ask the question, why would we do all of this? You see, we hold in our hands and in our head the idea of a message. A message that can save the world, the gospel of salvation, that brings life to all who will believe. We hold the literal keys to heaven, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We share it and give it to all who will hear and listen. I share this in closing with you. But God is so rich in His mercy that He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. God saved you by grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. We are God's children, created for good works. When you and I see why we do this, because Jesus Christ, that though He was the Son of God, emptied Himself, didn't consider any of His godly divine attributes something to be grasped or clung to, but rather made Himself obedient as a slave, even willing to suffer and to die as a criminal on a cross to pay for your sins and mine. God raised Him from the dead on the third day, and because He was raised from the dead, you and I have life, life everlasting. But the promise that God has sent you and me to share this wonderful message, and we, like Paul, must make the most of every opportunity to share that message and to live it out as God's people. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts in your minds and the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me as we make confession of our faith this Sunday in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, and of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, who was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Saints weekend, we want to remember all those who have had loved ones who have parted. We would like to have you speak their name aloud so all of us can hear it. And at that time, the bell will ring after each one of the names mentioned individually. I'm asking you to speak on behalf of any of your loved ones that have passed from this life to glory in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember the following names and ask you to bless us and to prepare us for that day where we will be called home to our heavenly home. We remember
Linda,
Bob. Don. Lord, we thank you for each of these names mentioned, the life that they lived, the influence they had upon our lives as fathers, as mothers, as husbands and wives. And we ask you, Lord, that you bless us and allow our lives to make a true impact in the world in which we live. Prepare us for that time where you will call us from this life to eternity. And may our hope always be founded and rest in you, dear Jesus. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, for the life of Paul and the early apostles and disciples. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us as modern-day disciples to walk in their footsteps, to make the most of every opportunity, and to share this wondrous good news of forgiveness and of your love extended to each and every man, woman, and child who has ever lived or who will ever live on this planet. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to reach out to them, to touch their life and to connect with them, and for your Holy Spirit to help us in that. Give us a hunger for that, a desire for that, and the ability for that. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be with and bless all the families who have lost loved ones, allowing them to rejoice in the departed and knowing that they are with you, Lord, and that someday soon we too will join them. Lord, in your mercy. Be with our congregation as we come together this day for our voters meeting and have many things to cover. And we thank you for our leaders and for all who will be presenting and all in attendance. May we as one people hear these things and respond with one voice. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers of the church that have been requested.
Lord, we pray that you would keep all first responders safe, not only here in Orlando, but throughout the United States and through the world. And we also pray for Brother Lowe, and be with him as he heals, and bring him back to us in full health. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he's betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in this holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Good morning. A few announcements. The regular voters meeting is going to be held today at 11 o'clock after the 11 o'clock worship. They're urging everyone to try and make time for this. There are some decisions being made that are very important. The Trinity Shares Christmas tree is now up in the narthex. This is the largest Christmas outreach they've done. And what they're going to do is try and get some things for the children who have parents that are incarcerated at this time. So if you want to participate, please choose an ornament off the tree as you leave. And there's more details in the Trinity Weekly. The Women's Christmas Dinner is scheduled for Thursday, December 12th from 6 to 8 in the Fellowship Hall. The tickets are on sale after the worship. I don't know if someone will be doing that today or not. They'll be out in the loggia area. Seating is limited to 80, so please purchase your tickets right away. And there's more in the weekly. The pumpkin patch sales wrapped up on Thursday. What's left there is up for grabs for anybody, I guess, if you want to make pies or whatever. But whatever's out there, you can take. And I don't know, David, you said some of them were pretty rough shape last week, so I'm guessing. The ones that were
was worth dying for. It was not a foregone conclusion that they would lay down their lives. Peter, for his part, was famous for two things: boldly revealing Jesus' identity as the Messiah, the Son of God, and just as boldly denying that he ever knew him. Decades later, as the Roman Empire under the rule of Nero took aim at followers of Jesus, Peter made his choice clear. He would give up his life. But first, he would make sure believers in Rome and generations who came after them knew exactly what they and he were dying for. Before he died, Peter entrusted his memories about Jesus to a friend named Mark. There was little time to waste, and you can feel the urgency in Mark's gospel. It reads like a fast-paced drama. Jesus moves quickly from one place to the next, preaching and healing. One question follows him everywhere he goes. Who is this man? The crowds want to know. The religious leaders want to know. Jesus' family and even his own disciples search for the answer. But when it's finally revealed in the middle of Mark's story, no one, not even the disciples, are prepared for what comes next. According to Mark, Jesus, not the emperor, is the Son of God. He is the one true king. But Jesus offers an upside-down kingdom where victory comes through defeat. It's only when Jesus dies and his disciples scatter that it finally becomes clear, and it's a Roman soldier, one of his executioners, who realizes first, the man he just killed is the real Son of God. This is what divinity in flesh looks like. Peter entrusted his memories to Mark and wrote two letters of his own to encourage believers to make the same choice Jesus did: victory through defeat, life through death, joy through suffering, because Peter had seen the glory of Jesus too, and he had faith that he would see it again.
If you haven't made Sunday plans, I can help you. There is an immersed Bible study right after this at 9:30 over in the Fellowship Hall, led by Greg Yaman. And if you aren't a part of that already and you would like to just try it out and see what it's like, that'd be a way for you to taste and see. Then you could go out to breakfast and then come back for the voters meeting at 12:30. Sound good? God's blessings. Have a wonderful week in the Lord, but please, please join us in our final hymn.
Depart in peace and serve the Lord with joy.